This morning I'd like to talk about modern idolatry. I'd like to talk about modern idolatry, and I'd like to kind of look at it and see how idolatry can be an issue in our lives. You know, oftentimes we think of idolatry and we want to think of people praying to a statue or things like that. And you know, and sometimes we think of that, people praying to a statue, but you know, we all have statues in our house. We all have little figurines that we put on and put on our shelves, and we put on our windowsills, and we worry about our kids knocking over, and we got little figures of animals and things like that. But you know, they're not idols. We don't pray to those things. We realize that we have these little statues and these little figurines in our house, but we also realize that that's all they are. They're just statues and little figurines, and they're not idols. It's not something we set up there to worship and something like that. And so that's really, I think, the true kind of definition. We start looking into this of idolatry and what idolatry is. It's not necessarily the item itself, but the way we approach it. There's nothing wrong with having a little figurine in our house, but if we start praying to that figurine, then it becomes an idol. There's nothing wrong with having a little statue in our house, a little portrait in our house, but when we start praying to those things, when we start thinking those things, substituting the things that belong to God to those statues, to those pictures, to those whatever it may be, that's when it's the problem. So that's what I kind of like to look at today. I'd like to begin by starting in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of bondage thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keepeth my commandments." And here, see, I think we need to focus on the fact that we shouldn't bow down to them. We shouldn't serve them. When, you know, he's talking about these graven images, and we all, like I said, we have these figurines and things like that in our house, but we don't worship them. We don't bow down to them. And so we realize that an idol is something that we bow down to. It's something that we worship. It's something that we serve. And it's when we serve these things, and when we place these things where God belongs in our lives, is when we turn those things from things into idols. It's when we take those things and we turn them into idols. In Psalms chapter 97 and verse 6 it says, "The heavens declare the righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, ye of all gods." So here he says that the heavens declare God's righteousness, and people see his glory. But people will turn and they want to worship graven image, and they want to look to them and boast of them, and they instead of worshiping God. And so we see that these graven images, although you can look around and see all the things, wonderful things of God, people want to focus on these things. They want to look at the majesty of a lion or the beauty of a bird or things like that, and they want to take them and turn them into an idol and worship that, or they want to worship from sunrise. People want to worship these different things or the trees, and all these things of elements show us God. They show us His power and His beauty and His strength, but it's just a partial show. And we shouldn't worship those things, but we should worship God Himself. In Psalms 135 verse 15 it says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." So here he's talking about these idols, and he says, you know, they have mouths and they speak not. They have eyes and they hear not. They have ears and they hear not. You know, they're sitting there and they're things, but they really can't do anything for them. And so a lot of times we have idols in our life, I think, or we have to be worried. People have modern idols in our lives, and they're things, but they can't really do anything for you. People want to put their trust in them, and they want to put their confidence in them, they want to put their effort in them. So I'd like to look at things that people want to put into an idol. People want to think of an idol that really belongs to God. I'll look at things that people want to place on, that people want to put their emphasis on that, but not only God. Let's return to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. It says, "I returned and saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance after them all. For man also knoweth not his time, that fishes are taken in an evil net, and the birds are caught in a snare. So are the son of man snared in an evil time, and falleth on them suddenly. You know, oftentimes we want to look for protection in things. We want to look for protection. Some people want to maybe look for protection in their ability to fight. You know, there's people who take all these martial arts trainings and all these different things, and they hone their skill of self-defense, and they've learned and they train themselves and all these skills and all these things. But you know, that doesn't necessarily protect them. That won't give them protection. They still can die. They still can get sick. They still can get diseases. They still can have all these things. Some people want to think that, you know, if I have a lot of money and if I live in a nice neighborhood and I have a security system in my house and that kind of thing, that'll save me and that'll keep me safe and I can put my focus and security in on this. You think of all these things that we try to do that we try to, you know, maybe if I become knowledge, we look for these things that we want to build. But it says, Ecclesiastes says, the time and chance happens to us all, and all will die. For no man knoweth his time, and we'll all be taken like fishes in a net. There's going to come a time that we're going to die. And there's nothing in this life that we can do to protect us of that. You know, you think about people with training, you think about this, and you know, earlier, a couple months ago, an entire group of Navy SEALs was lost in a plane crash, or a helicopter crash, got shot down by one rogue missile. Here are some of the best trained people of self-defense that there is on this planet. People who have been given the best of technology. One missile took them down and killed all of them. They didn't do them any good. You know, we think about that, and you think about a while back, there was a gated neighborhood in our neighborhood. The guy jumped the fence and hijacked the guy in the street. It was a big thing on a police chase. Here this guy thought he was living in a safe neighborhood. He thought he was living in a, you know, good part of town. And even on top of that, he had a gate to get in his neighborhood. It didn't do him any good. There's no security in wealth. There's no security in anything of this life, because it all will end. And so when we look for protection, we should look for God. In Matthew chapter 26-25, Christ here says, then Jesus in here is telling to Peter, put up again thy sword into thy place, for all that take the sword shall perish with it. You know, weapons and army and things like that, those things won't save us. Those things will just cost of our lives. We can't arm ourselves to protect ourselves. You know, people want to arm themselves and have a gun in their car or whatever in case something. Those things won't even protect you. Those won't keep you alive forever. And 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 11 says, and David spake unto the Lord the words of his songs in the day of his Lord to deliver him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is the shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Only the Lord can save us. Only the Lord can provide us protection. And you know, he doesn't just provide us protection in this life, but he provides us protection of our soul. And in his hands we place our soul, which is our most valuable asset. In his hands we look for protection. In his hands we look for safety. Because only in him is there safety. Only through him is there eternal life. And so we may look for all these things to provide us protection, but death is going to come to all of us. We may look for all these things to provide us safety, but none of those things can keep us alive. None of these things can truly provide protection. Only God can provide the protection of your most valuable asset, and that's your soul. Only God can give you eternal life and protect you from the grave of death. You know, another thing people look for, they look for fulfillment. You know, sometimes people want to get an idea of fulfillment or satisfaction. They want to have a sense of happiness. You know, people who want to work jobs, and sometimes, you know, it's good to have a job that you feel like you're fulfillment, that you've done something, that you've accomplished something when you get home from that job, that you made a difference in this world. And, you know, and people sometimes, they get caught up in their career, whether it be something like teaching, or whether it be a career in business, or whatever their career may be, and people just get all wrapped up in their job, and they want to identify for themselves in their jobs, and the successes of their jobs, and the failures of their jobs, how they reflect themselves as whether they were successful or a failure in life. And then, you know, some people look to sports teams for familiars. You know, they get all caught up in watching their favorite football team, and they're all behind this team, and oh, this team, oh, they're doing good. They're gonna, you know, win the championship this year, and they're all happy, and they're all excited. And then if they get upset, then you know, they're all down for weeks, and people get mad, people get in fights, all these kind of things. They're looking for fulfillment in sports, and sometimes they even look in their children's sports. And you read about the news more and more about how parents get invited to little league softball games, little league football games, and they get up there and they make complete fools out of themselves at these events. They're looking for all these places for fulfillment. And, you know, maybe some people look at fulfillment in art, and there's a lot of beauty in this world, and they want to focus on that. And they think, oh, well, they're always chasing the next sunrise or the next, you know, people get in the mountain climbing. They're always chasing the next thing to provide them fulfillment. Or maybe using something like drugs and alcohol and things that there's no fulfillment in this life that's of service to God. We can chase all the things of this world and they won't be fulfilling except service to God. Nothing will make you happier. Nothing will make you have a greater feeling of accomplishment. Nothing that you can put your faith in and say, when I did something worthwhile today, I did something everlasting today, except when we serve God and we look for these things for fulfillment, we're placing them in God's place instead. We're making an idol out of these things because we want to look for them for fulfillment. And we should only turn to God for fulfillment. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 18 it says, "Vanity's a vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he has still taught the people knowledge, and he gave them good heed. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out the acceptable words, that was written upright, and even the words of truth. The words of wise are as goads, and the nails fastened, the masters assemblies. They are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished, making many books there is no end, but much study is weariness. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment to every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You know, and if you go and you read through Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he goes through and makes a list of all the things that there are in life that was nothing but vanity. He goes through and makes a list of all the things that Solomon had tried to get fulfillment out of life. And in the end, he says, "Vanity's a vanity, it's all a vanity." And you know, we say vanity, we think of somebody who may be shallow or somebody may be obsessed with their looks and that kind of thing. That's not what he's talking about. He means wasted effort and time. When he says something is in vain, it says that you like you would try in vain. It means to do it without any effort, to do it without any real reward. Life without God is a life without reward. Life without God is a life without fulfillment. You cannot find fulfillment in the things of the earth because it's not our duty. It's not what we're made to do. The Bible tells us that here's the conclusion of the whole matter. All of life, our whole purpose in life, the whole way to get satisfaction, fulfillment, is to fear God and to keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So our whole duty on the matter, the whole conclusion of the whole matter is for life to attain fulfillment. It's for us to fear God. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's how we're going to have completely. That's how we're going to have happiness. That's where we're going to have fulfillment. That's how we're going to have the things that we need in our lives. That's the thing that's going to fulfill us and make us happy at the end of the day. When we can sit down at the end of the day and say, yeah, I've accomplished something today. I'll worship the Lord and I've kept his commandments. That's how we know we have fulfillment in our lives. And only through that, everything else is vain. The other thing people look to God, look to idols for is worship. And you know, we think, well, I don't worship idols, but oftentimes we worship celebrities and we worship sports stars and we worship maybe politicians and we worship other people. And we look to these people and we want to talk about how great and wonderful these people are. And we think, oh, if I could just be like that person, and oh, that person is so wise, and oh, if I just, you know, that person, they're just so good looking, and they're so smart, and they're so talented, and they have so much skill, and I just, and people just get caught up in those people, and they want to know all the details of their lives, and they don't want to know what that person's doing, and what, and they don't know these people, but they want to worship them, they want to look up to them as something greater than themselves, and maybe try to get some fulfillment out of that, but they want to look toward people, and they want to worship these things, and sometimes maybe it's not people, maybe sometimes it's, you know, it's a car, and there's cars that are works of art, that people just love cars, and there's some really nice cars, and sometimes the people want to maybe worship that car, and not necessarily bow down to it, but they want to look at it and praise, and they talk about how wonderful that car is, or their house, or all these things that there are that people sometimes want to focus on. And sometimes people want to, you know, just focus these things, but the only thing we should be worshiping is God, and the only true God who can actually do something. Not an idol, but the true God who can do something. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 25. "And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you For ye are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from the morning, evening until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any answer. And they leaped upon the altar which they made, and it came to pass that noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is God, and either he is walking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be awakened. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances, till blood gushed out of them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he buried the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And the stones he built with an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made the trench about the altar, and the greatest would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order, and he cut the bullock into pieces, and he laid them on the wood, and he said, Fill the barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice of the wood. And he said, Do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, Do it a third time. They did it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that have done all these things that thou wert. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned thy hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, Take the prophets of Baal, and let none of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. Here we see that Elijah, you have two people trying to worship two different things, and it's two different stories. And it's very important what we worship on. It's very important to God that we worship Him and only Him. Because only He can provide safety. Only He can provide these fulfillments. Only He can provide those things. And we worship Him. We need to realize that. You see this story. You see these guys, and they're trying to awaken this false God. And they're trying to awaken this false, and nothing they do can awaken Him. Nothing they do can invoke Him to do anything, because it's inanimate. It's powerless. And they are powerless. Like we read the prophecy, those who worship after these idols are powerless, like these idols are. But then Elijah gets here. He builds an altar to the Lord, and he sets the wood, and he sets the meat on it, and sets the sacrifice on it. And 3 times he dumps water over this, to the point that it fills a trench around it and soaks that wood. And you know, if you've ever done any camping, or if you ever built the fire or anything like that, you know that if you got water, you got soaked wood, it doesn't really do you a whole lot of good to try to set it on fire. He had set all of this on fire, water, and soaked it all, the ground and the altar and everything. And he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord showed them His power. Not only did He burn the offering, not only did He burn the altar, He burned the stones and the dust and all the water in the trench. He destroyed, He burned it all up, because He is God and He is all powerful. And He shows us here. So oftentimes when we worship, we got to make sure that we are worshiping God properly, and not something that's a false God, not something that we shouldn't be worshiping. We shouldn't be serving and worshiping these other false gods and things that are out there in life. But we should be focused on God, because in reality, all these other things are like a statue. They're just there. There's nothing that they can do. They're powerless. They're ineffective. They're useless. But you know, we look for idols not only to worship, we look for idols for salvation. You know, people look for idols and look for things to provide them salvation, maybe to get them out of the difficult times, maybe to provide them with a better life. You know, some people think that maybe they looked at their works and their ability to be a good person. You hear people say, well, he was a good person. And people want to, a lot of times, get towards the end of their lives, and people have made a lot of money by stealing and cheating, and all of a sudden they decide that life's about over with, and they want to give it all away to charity. And you know, they create a lot of problems and heartache for people in some of their businesses, but they want to give it some. They think that charity maybe can provide salvation. Only through God can we obtain salvation. No idol can obtain salvation. No work of man can obtain a salvation. Nothing we can do in this life obtains the salvation itself. Serving God, being pleasing unto Him, worshiping Him, making Him first in our life. Only that can do it. No great deed that we can do except just simple obedience to God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 it says, "Blessed be God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So here he says that only that through God and through Jesus Christ and through His abundant mercy do we have a hope of resurrection from the dead. Do we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and faith is not of waste? Only through Him and only through the faith in God and salvation, only through that He gave us that mercy, only that He gave us His Son through Him that we have salvation. Only through Him do we have that hope and through we have that faith. And it's incorruptible. It's an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's something that can't be taken away from us. You know, all the times in life we think that we have things and there's loss and we try to protect ourselves and we lose them and there's nothing that really can truly hold on into this world because eventually we're all going to die and we're going to lose it all. But we can have an inheritance and a promise that's incorruptible. We can have eternal life in Christ. We can have that salvation and only through Him. So and only through Him we should look to God for our salvation. We should look for Him for our resurrection. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul's right here, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of the God unto salvation and unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For there is in the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith that is written, the just shall live by faith, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men that hold to the truth in unrighteousness." So here we see that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because through the gospel of Christ, there is salvation. Well, everyone that believes that gospel, everyone that believes and obedient unto Him, there is salvation. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should glory in it. Of all the things we can do in life, the only thing we can do that's worthwhile is to obey the gospel. The only thing we can do is to teach the gospel. Through the gospel, we can do fulfillment. Through the gospel, we get salvation. And, you know, those things people do with idols that they should be doing God is they invest time in their pleas. They invest their efforts thinking that this is going to provide me all these things. And they put their time and effort into it. They look for it to give them salvation. They look for it for protection. They look for fulfillment. But we should invest our time and our effort. God should be first on our list and investing in those things. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 it says, "Lay not up thyself treasure upon earth, there is moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where neither thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also." So here he tells us that we should spend our time not laying up treasures for ourselves on earth. We should not be protecting against a rainy day, but we should be planning for our forever. We should be planning for eternal life, and that should be where our focus is. That should be where our focus and our efforts into going to. We should be working on making sure we have a comfortable nest egg. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with the comfortable nest egg because there's nothing wrong with the statue. But we have to realize and put it in its place. There's nothing wrong with putting effort in having a house and maintaining your house or having a job and working your job. We're told to work our jobs as we're working for Christ because it reflects on Him and He's our master's appointed to us for Christ. There's nothing wrong with working hard at your job. There's nothing wrong with having investments or having savings or preparing for a rainy day or taking care of your family. But it can't be your focus. It can't be where you put your hope. Beyond this life, you can't over depend on those things. We have to realize that we may go out and have these things. We may earn a good living. We may save our money. We may take care of our house. And we may spend a lot of time raising our children and efforts in those. But those things are just temporal. Those shouldn't be our focus in our life. Our focus in our life should be towards God and towards serving Him. And so although we may put our time and effort in some of those, we need to make sure that our focus and our true treasure is on things uncorruptible, on things of a heavenly nature. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, it says, "And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, now is our salvation near, than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not riding in drunkenness, not chambering in wantonness, not striving in me. Let put ye on the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we shouldn't make provisions for the lust of our flesh. We shouldn't make convenience or opportunity or feeding. You know, people think provisions and not supplies. We should supply our lust. We should supply our things, but we should put those things aside and focus on our walk towards God. And we should put our effort toward pleasing God, and that should be our focus in our life. We should make that our effort, not anything else, because when we start putting our focus on our job above God, we put our focus on family above God, upon wealth upon God, before entertainment before God, before maybe even something like drugs and alcohol before God, and we should know better than those kind of things, because they will destroy us. The things that maybe not as anything that we have in our lives, but we start wanting to put more focus on that than we do on serving God, we're turning that into an idol. We're turning that into the main thing in our lives. And so, the thought I want to leave you with this is that although there's nothing wrong to say with anything that God gave us in this world, we have to keep things in their place. We don't need to take that statue and turn it into an idol. We don't need to take that part of our life that we enjoy and make it the focus and center of our life. We should always keep God in the center. We should always keep God focused there. And then we can be pleasing unto Him, and we can have fulfillment, and we can have protection against the judgment, and we should have eternal life. I appreciate your time. We want to offer an invitation for those who would like to come forward and obey the gospel, those who want to start a life with Christ and put Him first in his life and obey the gospel plan of salvation. We also want to offer an invitation for anyone who would like to have the prayers of the church or any problems or issues you may have. We know that we have a duty and a right to pray for one another. We can go to God and we can pray for one another, and He will provide us the things that we need and the things that truly we